Welcome to the She Connects podcast. My name is Susan Vandenhoevel, and I am honored to be your host each and every week. This is an extension of my ministry, She Rises, that allows me to connect with women in the online space. You can learn more about me and my ministry at www.sherisesmn.org or simply tap the link in the show notes. But for now, let's dive into this week's episode. Well, hey, ladies, welcome back to the show. I hope that you're having a great week here in Minnesota. We had a late spring, or I guess early spring, snowstorm. So I'm looking out my office window with a lot of white on the trees, white on the ground. It's wet and heavy snow, but you know what? This summer girl is being reassured and encouraged that here in Minnesota, this time of the year, if we're going to get a snowstorm, at least it's not going to last that long because the sun is a lot warmer this time of the year here in Minnesota. So we are looking forward to spring. And like I said, this summer gal is ready to dip her toes in the sand and in the water, go for bike rides and float across the lake in my kayak, do all the gardening, all the planting. Really, really looking forward to that. All right. I want to get into right away this week's episode that I have titled Created for Impact. I have a lot of content to share with us this week, but I really believe in this episode. I believe in this message. I don't know. There's just something on this message, and I want to be able to share it with you. And I'm just already believing. I'm not even going to say I hope that it's beneficial. I hope that it's encouraging to you. I hope that it is spurring you on, and you know, and all the things. I am going to remove the word I hope, and I'm just going to declare I believe it will be, because I'm just so convinced that God's presence, God's hand, God's favor, and the anointing of the Holy Spirit is on this message. So created for impact. In Habakkuk chapter 1, verse 5, it reads, "For I am going to do something in your days that you would not believe." You know, so that's God speaking there. "For I am going to do something in your days that you would not believe." You know, the world does feel out of control and rather chaotic, but God is still at work in our lives. He is still moving. He's still bringing breakthrough. He's still setting people free. He's still healing the sick, and through the Holy Spirit, awakening people to faith. People are still making decisions for Christ for the first time. Some people are making decisions to return to Him. I mean, people are being baptized in water. People are being baptized in the Holy Spirit. God is moving. He is at work. So having set that as a just kind of a backdrop, if you will, for this week's message, I want to encourage you with that from the get-go, because things are changing and accelerating at a really fast rate. I do believe that we are living in the days that Jesus spoke about in the Gospel of Matthew, that he described as, when you see these things unfold, look up, for your redemption is drawing near. And he said that you would know that the return of his coming would be like the days of Noah. Well, then that begs the question, okay, so if he's saying that, if he's telling us what is going on, then, and he is specifically saying in the days of Noah, well, then it just begs the question then, well, so what were the days of Noah like? And so when you go back and you look at the days of Noah, the days that Noah was living in when he was building the ark, that is exactly how the world is right now. That is not what this week's message is about, but I offer that as a backdrop to say, yes, I understand, because faith is not denying reality. We don't put our heads in the sand. I do believe that God wants us to be awake and alert, not alarmed, because those are separate things, but also to be able, as people of faith, to be able to tell time in the spirit by looking at the world with a biblical worldview and partnering it with the written word of God. And according to the word and then the events that are unfolding in the world, we can tell where we are at on God's prophetic timeline. But He also says, I am going to do something in your days that you would not believe. And so even though these things are unfolding in our world, let us not forget that God is still, number one, he's still in control. He's still seated on the throne. He will not be removed. He cannot be outdone, outpowered, outmaneuvered. He cannot be voted out. He is sovereign and he is going nowhere. And he is still at work in the church and in the lives of people. But I want us to turn to John's Gospel, chapter 4. And I want to read a few verses, verses 1 through 6. And this is the story about the woman at the well. Therefore, when the Lord knew that the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself did not baptize but his disciples, he left Judea and departed again to Galilee. But he needed to go through Samaria. That's verse 4. There's a couple of things that I want us to really pay attention to because we're going to come back to it because they're really key in us being able to move forward in this week's podcast episode. And that is would be point number one. He needed to go through Samaria. Keep that in the forefront of your mind. Taking it back up again in verse 5. So he came to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near the plot of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied from his journey, sat by the well, and it was about the sixth hour. Point number two. So we have number one that we need to really pay attention to. He needed to go through Samaria. Point number two, it was about the sixth hour. So we understand what is going on here, and it gives us the timestamp. He tells us, the Word of God tells us it is about the sixth hour. Two very key pieces of information. So I want to give just a little bit of background so that we can be able to really understand what is about to take place in this passage of scripture. The first being that Jewish and Samaritan people did not get along. There simply wasn't any mingling. There was no common ground. Jewish people actually traveled east of the Jordan River with the sole purpose to avoid Samaria. Okay, but if we go back to verse 4, it says he needed to go through Samaria. He needed to go through Samaria. And then if we skip down to verse 6 and reread the timestamp of this story, it says it was about the sixth hour. Okay, so we're gonna come back to those two key pieces of information. So starting in verse 7 then of John chapter 4, a woman of Samaria came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." For his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. Then the woman of Samaria said to him, "How is it that you, being a Jew, ask a drink from me, a Samaritan woman? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans." I just want to pause here. Jesus is breaking two key social customs, and that being the Jew speaking to a Samaritan and a man speaking to a woman in this manner. Wow. There's a lot going on here. Let's pick it up now in verse 10. Jesus answered and said to her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that says to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him and he would have given you living water." The woman said to him, "Sir, you have nothing to draw with and the well is deep. Where then do you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us this well and drank from it himself, as well as his sons and his livestock?" Verse 13, Jesus answered and said to her, "Whoever drinks of this water will thirst again, but whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life." Wow. Okay. So there's a lot to unpack here. But the first thing I want to say is she was thinking in a literal sense. Jesus wanted to meet a deeper spiritual need that he recognized in her. I love that. I love that we see Jesus all throughout his earthly ministry. He goes beyond the masks that we wear. He goes beyond the pretending, all of the pretense. He goes beyond the labels that we might be wearing. He goes beyond all of that, and he goes right to the heart. I love that. Oh man, I love that, because I think that one of the most profound things about that is that he sees us as individuals, not what we have done, not what we can do, not a skill set, not anything like that. He sees us as people, as men and women, as sons and daughters. She was thinking in a literal sense, but Jesus wanted to meet a deeper spiritual need that she had. Okay, so let's pick it up in verse 15. The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water that I may not thirst, nor come here to draw." Wow. Okay, pay attention to what Jesus is going to say in verse 16. "Go call your husband and come here." And the woman answered and said, "I have no husband." Jesus said to her, "You have well said, I have no husband, for you have had 5 husbands, and the one whom you have now is not your husband. In that you spoke truly." Wow. Doesn't it seem just so random? She thought they were there talking about water, and now he's talking about her husbands and the man that she is with now. I mean, outwardly, if we don't really sit and dive into this and ask God, what is he trying to teach us? What does he want us to see? We will just gloss over this and we will think this is so random. But this is exactly why she was drawing water in the 6th hour of the day. As I pointed out in verse six, it was about the 6th hour. It gave us the timestamp, and this is exactly why she was drawing water in the 6th hour of the day. So in that region, women were the ones who would go out. It was their job. It was their role to go and draw water from the well. And they had to walk quite a distance outside of the city to go to the well and draw the water. And because it was quite a distance, and carrying the pots was, you know, heavy. It wasn't light, you know, carrying back these large pots of water. I'm not talking about like a gallon jug of milk that you buy at Walmart. These were like large pots, and they were heavy. And so to avoid the heat of the day, to make it as easy as they can, less strenuous on them, they would go in the wee hours of the morning, or in the cool of the dusk, to avoid the heat of the day. Well, the 6th hour of the day that puts the timestamp on this account of scripture tells us, if we understand our Bibles correctly and we understand what is happening here, she is out there in the middle of the day, the heat of the day, which begs the question, why wasn't she with the other group of women who also went to draw from this well in the early hours of the day? Well, we just learned a lot about this woman. She had a reputation. She was known in her city. She had 5 husbands, and the one that she was with now was not her husband. Can we say, wow, this woman, she had a reputation. People probably gossiped about her. People probably tried to avoid her, didn't want to be associated with her, looked at her through skewed lenses, maybe even thought she's unworthy. They discarded her. We don't want her to be around us. I don't want to be seen with her. And so she avoided being in that group. She probably didn't want to be a part of that because she already felt like an outcast, but they probably did not want to be seen with her either. So she would go and she would draw by herself in the heat of the day. Pick it up in verse 19. The woman said to him, "Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshiped on this mountain, and you Jews say that in Jerusalem is the place where one ought to worship." Wow. Okay. So verse 21, and I'm going somewhere, so stick with me here. Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father is seeking such to worship him." Verse 24, "God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth." Verse 25, oh, I just love this. "The woman said to him, 'I know that Messiah is coming, who is called the Christ. When he comes, he will tell us all things.'" And listen to the profound response that Jesus gives to her. I mean, you talk about, in modern day language, mic drop. I mean, that's it. No more to be said. I don't need to explain anymore. So powerful. Verse 26, Jesus said to her, "I who speak to you am he." Man, everything hinges on that. And here's why. This is the first time that Jesus revealed himself as the Messiah. It's the first time in his earthly ministry that he revealed himself as the Messiah. And here's the thing. I believe that the Lord wants to reveal himself to you at the upcoming She Rises Women's Conference in a way that he hasn't before, or at least in a way that you have been longing for. The theme for the She Rises Women's Conference this year is Created for Impact. Do you know that you were created for impact? That you have something lying on the inside of you, God-given potential, God-given gifts, that you were created with and for a purpose. Stick with me here, because we're gonna draw a lot of truths that we can apply to this from this one encounter that this woman had with Jesus at the well. She thought that Jesus was there for a drink of water, but he was there for her. Man, can we just say, God, that is so, so powerful. She thought that he was there for a drink of water, but he was there for her. Because remember, we read in verse 4, he needed to go through Samaria. Why did he need to go through Samaria? He wanted to meet her. He wanted to connect with her. He wanted to have a conversation with her. He wanted to draw something out of her. He wanted to set her free. He wanted to speak truth. He wanted to speak life. He wanted to speak hope over this woman. And when I read he needed to go through Samaria, you know what? I believe, you know, the She Rises Women's Conference is being held in Rosemont at Lighthouse Christian Church in Rosemont here in Minnesota, a suburb of the Twin Cities. I believe he needed to go through Rosemont. He needs to go through Rosemont. He needs to come to Lighthouse. Why? Because he wants to connect with every single woman that is purposely positioning herself in the room that weekend. And I just even go a little bit further? I believe that Jesus says, you know what? I need to come through your neighborhood. I need to come to your city. I need to come to your church. I need to come to your house, into your living room, into your car, into wherever it is that you might be. Jesus needed to go through and be at those particular places and show up in a very personable and palpable way in your life. Why? Because he has something that he wants to communicate to you. Man, so powerful. Jesus is showing up, wants to show up in these different areas of your life because there's something that he wants to communicate to you. So powerful. And when I think about the upcoming She Rises Women's Conference, you know what? There is going to be a lot of women there that weekend, but you know what? He's there for you. There might be a lot of women there that weekend, but he's there to meet with you. He's there to encounter and engage you. Just as Jesus was sitting at the well waiting for this woman to arrive, do you know what? I'm recording this episode in March, but he's already in our future. He's omnipresent, and that means he can be fully and completely present right now while you are listening to this week's episode. And at the same time, be fully and completely present in your future. And as we're talking about the upcoming She Rises Women's Conference, I believe with every fiber of my being in his omnipresence, he is fully and completely present in this week's episode, wherever you might be tuning in your car, in your home. You might be out for a run, you might be out for a walk, whatever, wherever you are listening, he is fully and completely present with you right now, while at the same time already fully and completely present at the She Rises Women's Conference on May 17th and the 18th, waiting for your arrival. He is already there waiting for your arrival. Man, so powerful when we think about that. And that just creates and stirs up such an expectation and an anticipation on the inside of me. If he is already waiting for me and he's already waiting for you and every other woman that is planning to position herself, be intentional about positioning herself in the room over that weekend in May, man, what does he have for us? How is he going to set us free? What does he want to show us? What does he want to speak to us? How does he want to bring more freedom, more healing, more wholeness? What does he want to do in our lives? Man, you talk about expectation. You know, scripture, going back to our sister at the well, I like to refer to her as, scripture goes on to tell us that this woman dropped her pots and went into the city to proclaim that she had met the Messiah. She was the first evangelist to win a city. How powerful is that? You talk about being created for impact. Nobody else saw that in her except Jesus. Jesus saw that in her. She didn't see it in herself. And I mean, the people in her community did not see that in her, obviously. But setting that aside, she didn't even see it in herself, but Jesus saw that in her. She was the first evangelist to win a city. A woman, and a Samaritan woman at that. She went from striving to thriving. She went from rejection to acceptance. She went from defeat to conqueror. She went from an outcast to belonging. She went from hidden to living out loud. She went from bearing water to becoming an image bearer of her God. She went from living a life of withdrawing to boldly proclaiming Jesus Christ to an entire city. Think about that. Again, created for impact. Whatever her story was, it was not the end of her story. God had something planned for her. So powerful. A plan for her life, created with and for a purpose. A plan to give her a future and to give her a hope. And you think about that encounter that she had with Jesus at the well, and it forever changed the trajectory of her life. Man, what will a one encounter at the She Rises Women's Conference, how will it impact your life? How will the trajectory of your entire life change? How might he meet with you? How might he speak to you? How might he touch you? Woo, wow, so powerful. Our sister at the well, you know what? When she first got to the well, she had a barrenness of soul. Barrenness creates dry and dusty souls, hope deferred, an unwillingness to dream or believe again because disappointment has taken such a toll. We simply don't have another disappointment in us. Clearly, we see in the woman at the well someone without hope for change, no joy, not alive to God, a woman simply going through the motions of life, but not living life. Those are two separate things. Yet Jesus had to go through Samaria for her. He wasn't there for a drink of water. He was there for her. He had to go for the one. He had to go for the woman who felt unseen, unworthy, unvalued, unloved. How about you? Man, as I pray and as I think about the upcoming She Rises Women's Conference, I just believe that God wants to meet with us and that we are going to be standing underneath an open heaven, like the heavens are just going to be rend over us and the glory of God is going to descend upon us and the Spirit of the living God is just going to hover and move. Man, I'm just so expectant. You are carrying something that God has placed within you, a God-given dream, a promise, a vision, purpose, or potential. And that what was once dry and dusty, I'm just prophesying, I'm declaring over you, it is going to become like a well-watered garden, and you will begin to be fully alive in Him, a wellspring within you. Man, you might be feeling like you have a lot of resistance and opposition to what you're carrying, and you maybe you feel worn out. Maybe I'm speaking to you. Maybe it's you that you just feel like I have a bareness of soul. My soul feels dry and dusty. I feel worn out. Maybe for you, it isn't resistance or opposition, but the demands of life, or you've just come through a really hard season. You know what? Let me encourage you. When we think of carrying a child naturally, we know that as the delivery date draws closer, contractions start. We can feel when the baby has dropped, there's pressure on our lower back, and there's an increased uncomfortability. Soon the pressure will give way to birth. You know what? Times and seasons are important to God. It's important that we also understand, like I said at the beginning of this week's episode, to be people who can tell time in the Spirit. The two words used in the Bible for time are the Greek words chronos and kairos. So chronos is spelled C-H-R-O-N-O-S. Kairos is spelled K-A-I-R-O-S. Chronos is a chronological time, whereas kairos details a right, a critical, or opportune moment or time. When we look back at our sister at the well, the woman at the well, man, you know what? That was a kairos moment for her. She had a kairos moment, a moment that was right. It was a critical moment in her life. It was an opportune time for her that forever changed the trajectory of her life. Think about that. Think about that. And I really believe that we are living in a kairos moment, a kairos moment. And I believe that there is something resting upon this year's She Rises Women's Conference. And, you know, I'm not trying to take away from the other conferences that I've hosted. They've been great. They've been impactful. God has met us and lives have been changed. Forever grateful. I honor those and I'm forever grateful. So I'm definitely not taken away, but I believe because of where we are at in just God's prophetic timeline, I believe that we are in a kairos moment as a church, as you know, the capital C church, as the global church. And as I kind of hone in and narrow that down into She Rises Women's Conference in May, I believe that that conference is a kairos type moment, a kairos type weekend. The woman at the well was having to stretch her faith to believe that she was created for more, that her past didn't define her future, and that God had a plan for her life. Stretched to believe that forgiveness and redemption were available for her too. Stretched to believe that she had value and that she had worth and that she was a child of God and that she belonged to Him. Man, so powerful. God's timing is the perfect time. The Lord is outside of time. And in our humanness, we can't really wrap our minds around that because you and I, in the natural, we are constrained to time, right? We can only go on break at work for a 15-minute period, or you have a 30-minute break or an hour break. So you know that we're kind of constrained to a Cronus type of time. But God is outside of time. And I believe that God wants you to know and to be encouraged that He has not forgotten what He has said to you, what He has promised, or what He has placed on the inside of you. Numbers chapter 23 and verse 19 says this: God is not a man that He should lie, nor a son of man that He should repent. Has He said, and will He not do? Has He spoken, and will He not make it good? Oh, so good. You know what? God says what He means, and He means what He says. He does not toy with our emotions. He doesn't trick us. He doesn't just say things to just kind of pacify us. That's not who He is. In Isaiah chapter 66 and verse 9, He says this: Do I bring to the moment of birth and not give delivery, says the Lord? Do I close up the womb when I bring to delivery, says your God? Man, so powerful. When we understand that, naturally speaking, as the baby is growing within us, there is a stretching that takes place. Our bodies are making room to allow for the baby to grow. Spiritually speaking, the things that we walk through, they stretch us. It stretches our faith. It stretches our endurance, our patience, and our trust in God. So let me ask you a rhetorical question. What if the pressure and stretching is an answer to your prayers for more of Him? If you are feeling stretched right now, if you are feeling pressure, what if it is actually, can you allow yourself to sort of zoom out, to sort of step back and reframe it and really reflect and ask yourself, perhaps this is an answer to your prayer for more of God? What if the stretching is making room for what He wants to birth through you and do in your life? What if the stretching, albeit uncomfortable, is making room for the new thing that God wants to do in your life? I am imparting faith over you that distraction, disappointment, and discouragement are being lifted off of you in Jesus' name. That in the delay, you are going to break forth into singing, declaring and decreeing what the word of the Lord says about you, about your life, and about your future. Just as the woman at the well, I believe that those things, that He wants you to just let go of those things. Unflinch your hands, loosen the grip on your hands, unfold them. If you know how sometimes when we hold on to things so tightly, like we have such a grip on them, we're almost like white knuckling things. Well, sometimes spiritually speaking, we can be white knuckling and holding on to disappointment and discouragement and distraction and these types of things. But if we can unflinch our hands and release them, and like the woman at the well, spiritually speaking, drop them at the feet of Christ. Wow. You know what? Dropping her water pots symbolizes a letting go of what had been defining her, because she was more than a woman who was just gathering water. She was more than a disparaged woman, discarded, overlooked, with a reputation, who gathered water in the heat of the day. Because remember, I shared with you earlier, just a few minutes ago, Jesus was pulling something out of her. He was pulling truth out of her. He saw something in her that she didn't see in herself. Okay. So she was more than a woman with a reputation, with a past. She was more than a woman who had been perhaps even in a sinful lifestyle or whatever her situation was. She was more than a woman who had labels, who had disappointment and discouragement, felt depressed, felt ostracized by her community. She was more than that. She was more than that. And Jesus is saying that to you today too. You are more than whatever it is that you've been carrying around. I believe this season of uncomfortable stretching is bringing fulfillment of the promises that He has spoken to you, reigniting a flame within you and creating a wellspring in your heart and soul. It was never God's heart for you to live with a barrenness of soul. That is not God's heart for you. The season of uncomfortable stretching is making way for you to enter into a season of flourishing, thriving, and birthing what has been in you. And so I want to ask you, What have you been carrying? What promises have you been carrying? What is the God-given dream? What is the vision that God has given to you that you've been carrying and you have felt discouraged in the delay and you've been tempted to just sort of discard it, you know, neatly pack it away and just kind of just let it go because you're disappointed, you're discouraged. Maybe it's even for you, it's something in your past. There is blessing in the pressing, because remember, God doesn't waste anything. So if you're feeling stretched and you're feeling just pressed right now, I want to encourage you, it is not for vain. It is not just a coincidence. It's not just, it has nothing to do with God is very intentional and he doesn't waste anything. So I want to encourage you and remind you of what is true, that there's blessing in the pressing. There is blessing in the stretching. Is it uncomfortable? You bet it is. But you know what? Is it worth it? Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Look at the woman at the well and countless other heroes of the faith in Scripture. And you think about in our modern day age, you think about someone that you admire. Maybe you have a relationship with them, or maybe you admire them from afar. I bet if you sat down and you had a conversation with that person, they have a story to tell of having to go through the pressing, having to go through the stretching, and they can tell you about how discouragement, how disappointment, how the temptation to just sort of let go of the things that God has promised or what they had been believing for, how that tried to win the day. Listen, I have never known a woman of strength with an easy past. She's got a story. She's been through a few things. Circling back to the woman at the well, no one would have thought this woman could be used by God to have an impact in her sphere of influence. We've already established that. And so I want to ask you, why not you? Why not you? Why couldn't God use you and your one life to impact your sphere of influence? We're talking this week about being created for impact. That's the theme. That's the heartbeat. I believe that that is God's heart for us as we gather at the She Rises Women's Conference in May, created for impact. Why couldn't God use you and your one life to impact your sphere of influence? You may not have water pots to let go of, but there are other things that you've been lugging around that are holding you back, and it's time to let them go because you were created with and for a purpose. God has a plan for your life to give you a future and to give you a hope. Future and a hope. You have something lying on the inside of you, God-given gifts, God-given potential that he wants to pull out of you. He wants to breathe his life-giving breath back into those things that feel like they've gone dormant. Feel like they're just not even alive on the inside of you. He wants to pour himself, living water, pour himself into those areas that feel dry and dusty so that you are no longer barren in those areas. Why? Because you were created for impact and God wants to use your one life to impact your sphere of influence. As we read the end of this woman's story, I want to just read a couple passages of scripture here that is really powerful about this woman and going back. She dropped her water pots and went back into the city. In John's Gospel, chapter 4, in verse 28, the woman then left her water pot, went her way into the city, and said to the men, "Come see a man who told me all the things that I ever did." Man, you know what? She went back into the city. She went back right back into the city that had disparaged her, that set her aside, that discarded her, that overlooked her, that had opinions about her, and she shared her testimony of the encounter that she just had with Jesus at the well. She didn't care what they thought about her. She was no longer going to allow her reputation to keep her from proclaiming her testimony, her story. Why? Because she just had an encounter with the risen Christ, with Jesus Christ, and he spoke something to her that forever changed the trajectory of her life. And she was no longer going to wear those labels. She was no longer going to allow what other people thought about her, her past, or anything like that. She had a message. She had a message to declare. She was now alive. She was flourishing. She was thriving. The barrenness that was on the inside of her was no longer. Why? Because she encountered the living water. She encountered the living water. Man, I ask you again, how might Jesus Christ encounter you at this year's She Rises Women's Conference? Man, so powerful. You know what? She came out of hiding, didn't she? She came out of hiding. She was probably trying to avoid people at all costs, trying to avoid people because she already knew what they thought about her. And you know what? It's human nature. Who out of any of us want to hang around with people who have an opinion about us, and you know, they don't really have anything kind or uplifting. They just are always throwing our past in our faces. So she was probably trying to avoid them too. But listen, it was time for her to come out of hiding. And I'm declaring over you that it is time to come out of hiding, because you were born with a purpose. And the devil will throw every trick in the book at you to keep you silent, retreat out of fear, and question whether the gifts lying within you have any value. But hear me. He is a liar, and he has been from the very beginning. There is a warrior on the inside of you, and she has been created for such a time as this. There is an urgency in this hour, and the clarion call of the Lord has been given to rise and engage our faith, because we have been created. You have been created for such a time as this. You've been created for impact. Man, wow. I cannot wait. I am so expectant. My heart is just bursting. My heart is just bursting it. And you can just hear, I hope that you can hear in my voice, I am just so passionate about what the Lord has been showing me and speaking to me. Can it be May 17th and 18th yet? I'm not usually one to just fast forward time, but I am so expectant. I'm so eager to meet with the Lord and to just think and activate my faith and in the spirit believe that he is already there. He is already in my May 17th and 18th. He is already in your May 17th and 18th waiting for us. What might he say to you? What might he show you? How might he touch you? How might he awaken you? How might he activate you? Wow, the possibilities, they're limitless. Why? Because we serve an all-powerful God. Amen. So are you making plans to join us May 17th and 18th at the She Rises Women's Conference? I sure hope you are. Find out all of the details by clicking the link in the show notes. That's going to take you to my website. Once you're on my website, click on the tab that says 2024 events. You're going to see all of the details there. You'll find out the dates, the times, when the door opens, the venue, the address of the church. And there's a tab, a little tab there where you can grab your ticket. Be intentional. Be intentional about positioning yourself in the room. Be purposeful. Set aside the time, find the babysitter, find the friend to come with if you don't want to come by yourself, but set aside that time and purpose within yourself, you know what? I need to be there. I need to be there. Maybe for you, you feel like, I've never been to anything like this, and I don't know, this feels kind of risky, and it's, you know what? Take the risk. I'm just going to be bold, and I'm just going to say to you, take the risk. Take the risk. You know what? That woman at the well, it felt kind of risky to engage her faith and to engage in conversation with this man at the well. You know what? Samaritans and Jews, like we established, they didn't get along. There was no common ground. Yeah, I mean, this was just, by all regards, this was an awkward conversation. I mean, far out of the norm, right? But you know what? She took a risk and she engaged. What might be on the other side of your decision to take the risk? What might be on the other side of your obedient yes to the Lord? God, I'm believing that you have something there for me and that you are waiting for my arrival, and I want more of you. I just want you. I want more of you. All right. I believe that this, like I said earlier, this week's episode, I believe that this was a now word, and I cannot wait to see you May 17th and 18th at the She Rises Women's Conference. Click the link in the show notes, grab your ticket, and I'll see you in May.
Thank you so much for joining me this week. It was great connecting with you. Hey, would you do me a quick favor that would mean the world to me? Would you go ahead and leave a few stars and a review or even a comment? It not only means so much to me, but in the online space and the podcasting world, the more stars, reviews, and comments that a podcast receives, the further the reach. It ranks up a little bit higher in Google searches, which then results in reaching more women with this amazing content. So if you are blessed and enjoying, you know, just the content that you are hearing here on the podcast, would you go ahead and leave a few stars, a review, and some comments? It means the world to me. Thank you so much, and I'll catch you right back here, same place, same time next week.